It's All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Recently, we got to speak with reggae legend Jimmy Cliff, the music genre's greatest living representative, who was our guest in 2012 when he performed in the state. In an interview special airing today and tomorrow, we are welcoming Jimmy back to discuss the newly released collector's edition of the landmark Jamaican film The Harder They Come from the late director Perry Henzel, in which Jimmy Cliff played the lead role as Ivanhoe Martin, also known as Ragan, a 1940s real-life Jamaican criminal in the island nation. The 1972 film not only started Jimmy's professional acting career, but is credited with bringing reggae to the world. It's Jimmy Cliff with us on All Things Considered. And a big aloha and mahalo, brother Jimmy. Welcome back. It's been a long time, man.
Aloha. Thank you. My pleasure.
So prior to The Harder They Come, you'd already been releasing singles for a decade, albums for a number of years. At the time that you first heard the offer to do the film, explain sort of where your career was at, having already signed to Island Records and, I believe, leaving Jamaica to live in the United Kingdom.
Correct. I was living in the UK at the time, in London, and I had a number of hits, so I was doing fantastic all over Europe. I kind of hesitated before I accepted that role because I know I could have made a lot of money. Wild World was in the top 10 or top 5 somewhere there. I was just coming off Wonderful World, Beautiful People. When you have two consecutive huge hits like that, it means you can work all over Europe.
And you had already appeared long ago in America, having been at the World's Fair in New York back in 1964. And to put that in context, that was the same year the Supremes had their breakthrough hit, Where Did Our Love Go?
Oh, that's right. I remember walking the streets of New York, and I couldn't stop hearing that song everywhere. I said, wow, what a song. Yes, I did appear at the World's Fair, and I got rave reviews.
Did you see any American music acts at that time that helped shape your life?
Oh, yes. I went to the Apollo, the Fox Theater in Brooklyn. Black American acts, whenever you get a hit, you're destined to perform at one of those two places, or both. So I saw James Brown, Sam and Dave, all the Motown acts. The thing was, they did like 4 or 5 shows a day. So you could go in from 10 o'clock in the morning and come out like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the night. And I bought that all-day ticket, and I would stay and watch every one of them. Yes, so they were inspiring for me.
Gives a lot of context to The Harder They Come, because it's important to know what had come before that in your life. And I think for a lot of people, they don't realize there had been a lot of really incredible chapters like what you're just describing. And also in that same year, you were in a program called This Is Ska with Toots and the Maytals, Prince Buster and others. Was it a filmed program?
Yeah, it was a film program. And I went to the States at that time to promote ska, because they were trying to break it through in America.
And that's what you were calling your music at the time, ska?
Yes, because it was like upbeat, quite different from the slowed down rock steady, then into reggae, what was in between the two, not so fast, not so slow.
Thinking about the parallel to this, which is critical to our discussion, had you done any acting yet? And if so, describe what you had done at that point.
The only acting I had done prior to that was in school. And acting was really my first love. In our school, every time there was a break for holiday, we would have a play. I really look forward to that. Whether I got a lead part in it or I got a small part in it, I was outstanding. I loved what I was doing. I loved it.
Really paints a picture of where your head was at the time when that offer finally came in, and also why you had some trepidation too because of all this success. And on that note, prior to The Harder They Come, you had also gotten signed to Island, and I guess first meeting Chris Blackwell is part of that.
Well, I first met Chris Blackwell on the same trip to the New York World's Fair. I was looking for him in Jamaica, but couldn't find him. But after that performance, and he read the reviews, he came to me and he introduced himself and said, I would like to take you to England. And I said, no, I don't want to come to England. He said, you can stay here in America. There are many like you, but in England, there is none like you. I still took 3 months and went back to Jamaica before I decided I wrote him and I said, okay, I'll come. I'm ready to come. That was the story. I went to the UK and it was a great decision I made to go there.
Just as interesting in your sound and development in these critical years that precede The Harder They Come, there's Wild World and Another Cycle. There's important tracks that factor into the film that come from some of these records. And one of them is The Bigger They Come. Can you explain the idea to re-record and remake that song, which would end up being the critical song for this movie?
I was in Argentina at the time. I left Brazil. I went to Argentina for just over 3 months. I learned to speak Spanish there. And I met Gilly Bright. We just met on the street. As a black person, when you see another black person, he said, hey. I said, hey, what are you doing? I'm a singer. He said, yeah, you're a singer. I'm a writer. Let's get together. So I said, I'm staying at this hotel. So he came over. And I started playing him my songs. He said, wow, you got some nice songs there. And I started playing him some of the half-finished ones. This one is called The Harder They Come. He said, wow, why don't you play it like The Bigger They Come, The Harder They Fall? I said, that sounds good. So we just went along, changed the lyrics. I already had the melody and the chord progression and everything. And we changed it to that, and we went to Muscle Shoals in Alabama and recorded that.
Huge evolution in one of the critical songs of it. And then we have arrived at the point where you're invited to do the film. You decide to sign on and then explain the story. You're going to travel back to Jamaica to film. And had you been away from Jamaica for a while, or were you making periodic visits?
Wonderful. Okay, I had been back to Jamaica periodically because that's where I recorded Wonderful World, Beautiful People. That's where I recorded You Can Get It If You Really Want. So I kept going periodically. Now, when Perry Enzo said to me, why are you refusing to do this movie? It's about Reagan. And I knew of Reagan as a child. He was like an awesome name. If somebody said, Reagan is coming, you better hide. Because for a... person in that time to have guns and moreover to shoot a policeman, it was unheard of. So I said, okay, I know I had this rebel side of me. It's appealing. Terence said to me, I think you're a better actor than singer. And I went silent because I felt the same way. I said, now you got me. I said, okay, I'll do the movie. And we run a few scenes. We run the scene with the mother.
Right.
He played the mother. I played Ivan. After I run the scene, he said, this is the man I've been looking for all these years to do my movie.
Wow.
When he said, I think you're a better actor than singer, I said, no way you could know that. I never said that to anyone. So that convinced me, and I went to Jamaica and made it.
You're just a wonderful storyteller. It's such a gift. And maybe that's why you wanted to be an actor so much, because that's a real important part of being an actor. You know what else?
Yes.
You told me another funny thing in a previous interview about the production of The Harder They Come. It was often just one camera?
One camera right through. Pardon me. About three quarters of the way through, the one cameraman that we were using from the UK, he was riding the same bicycle that I was riding in the movie, and he fell down and busted his face.
Ooh.
So we had to get another cameraman. Well, he recovered from there on. We had two cameras.
What an organic production, huh? And to think of the impact this thing has had, and using such simple technology. And also, to the people on the set, were you a big star to them? Were they really kind of looking up to you as somebody who had made it out of Jamaica and then was back as like this sort of a hero?
Kind of, to a good degree, to some of them, like the cameraman from the UK, no. But to some of the other Jamaicans, such as Elsa, Richard's girlfriend, you know, she was a budding actress in Jamaica. To her, yeah, I was a big star. So, yeah, to some of the people on the set, yes, I was.
One of the castmates, Beverly Anderson, would go on to marry Michael Manley, who became Prime Minister of Jamaica.
Oh, yes. And there's a little story about Beverly myself. I liked her. She was a beautiful woman. And Perry Anderson said, take your eyes off her. She's Manley's woman. Well, okay, all right. I'll step aside.
And that's part one, as we celebrate the release of The Harder They Come, Collector's Edition. I'm Dave Lawrence. Join us here tomorrow on All Things Considered for the conclusion of our conversation with special guest Jimmy Cliff.
Sitting here in limbo. but I know it won't be long. Sitting here in limbo, like a bird without a song. Well, they're putting up resistance, but I know that my faith will lead me on. Sitting here in limbo, waiting for the dice to roll.